I'm an optimistic person. I'm not hysterical. I laugh when people say, oh, you've got Trump derangement syndrome. Yeah. If you're a reasonable person, you should have Trump derangement syndrome. Right. And by the way, I think he has derangement syndrome about us, too. The fact of the matter is, this is a dangerous person. This is a stupid person. And that's a bad combination. And I think what we're forgetting, I keep forgetting it, and I have to keep reminding myself, is he's not just running for president. He's running to stay out of prison.
Jimmy Kimmel must be the most miserable person on television, unless it's a close second maybe to the person he was talking to right there, Joe Scarborough. Do you hear how these individuals who have a great influence on American people are talking about the former president of the United States? Yes, candidate for president, and we will decide that in 13 short days. But the way these people talk about Donald Trump, it really makes you pause and think why there might be other people out there who are potentially mentally unstable, for real, who hear this and feel emboldened by this repetition of words that are so egregious towards the former president of the United States and potentially the next president of the United States. Well, the man who wrote the book on it, along with Joshua Lysik, the book is called Bulletproof. His name's Jack Posobiec. He's also the senior editor at Human Events, and he's back with us on the Annie Fry Show right now. Jack, thank you for being with us today. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show, and exciting to talk to you about your new book, Bulletproof.
Well, Annie, it's great to be here. Thank you so much for having me on. And as we know, America is becoming very fraught. I think tension has been ratcheted up on all sides right now. And even given a situation like we saw July 13th, Butler, Pennsylvania, or September 15th in West Palm Beach, even this incident last night with Kamala Harris, apparently, and a drunk driver who was driving the wrong way in Detroit, I think everyone knows that it feels like the country is on a knife's edge when it comes to this election. And you really want to step back and say, well, hold on a second. It didn't used to be this way in the United States. We didn't used to get this caustic over elections. There'd be a winner, there'd be a loser, you know, just like the Super Bowl, but people would go on with their lives. But something clearly has changed in the past couple of cycles, and it really is all centered around Donald Trump.
Yeah, that can't be denied. You know, you know Donald Trump. You've know him on a personal level. You've advocated for him for quite some time. You think he's the right guy for the job. I do. Our listeners on the whole do as well. But what I can't understand is when I look at the people who are unstable about their disgust for Donald Trump, specifically the Republicans who have come out and tried to cross that line over into the Democratic Party, Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, of course. I'm very curious about what these individuals are so scared of should they lose this Super Bowl, knowing there's another Super Bowl 4 years down the line for their candidate to try to vie for that opportunity once again. What is so scary that gets people to this point of being deranged over it?
Well, I think what's so scary, so you have two setups, basically. There's sort of the elites and then just the average person. So for the average person, I think that unfortunately there has been a psychological operation and a psychological form of rhetoric that's been used predominantly through mainstream media and corporate media over the last 8 years to explain that Donald Trump and Donald Trump supporters are extremists, that they are some fascist, xenophobic, racist, ethno-nationalist organization that is poised to take over the country. And it's also misogynist, can't leave that as well out as well. That's what you get from Joy Reid predominantly when she's not race baiting. And basically, they've been telling their followers that if this person or these people are able to come into power, that is, they are, instead of governing the same way that, you know, he governed for 4 years when he already was president, that instead it's going to turn this country into some post-apocalyptic dystopian future. Mm-hmm. From the elite side, the reason you're seeing the corporates do this, and unfortunately, a lot of people have fallen into that, and unfortunately, there are families and marriages that have fallen apart over this and many other things. And from the elite side, the reason that they don't support Donald Trump is because he stands as a detriment to billions and billions of dollars that are being made across multiple fronts, multiple industries, whether it's the China lobby that you see out of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and on Wall Street, whether it's Silicon Valley and their control over the country, and pushing for regulation on that, and an internet user's bill of rights, a digital bill of rights, whether it's from the multinational companies that are involved in sending American jobs overseas through outsourcing, or even the military-industrial complex, when we see the support for foreign wars that, of course, are worth billions and billions of dollars. Remember, every time another tranche of billions is sent to Ukraine, that doesn't actually mean it's going to Ukraine. It's going into the pockets of the defense contractors, who are then able to supply the missiles and the artillery and the tanks and all of these things. And so when Donald Trump comes around and says, no, I think we're going to actually pursue a peace deal instead of continuing the war, suddenly all of those financial, deep-seated financial interests run aground against him, because this is simply a candidate who can't be bought because he's a billionaire already.
Yeah, it is obviously very disturbing to those folks, and they out themselves, you know, on the regular. You don't even have to really scratch your head as to who's on what side. They can't help themselves. You wrote the book Bulletproof, and I want to talk about this. People can order it right now. We've got the link in the YouTube description of today's live broadcast. But you're telling a story that, for whatever particular reason, it's unfathomable to me why we are not talking on the regular about the details behind an assassination of Trump on former president's life. Talk to me about the odds of the massive security failure and the way those lined up on that day, the odds of that happening the way it did, combined with the odds of Donald Trump turning his head at exactly the right point at exactly the right time for him to still be in this election and race and with his family today.
Well, thank you, Annie. Yes. And so, as a sort of social experiment, my co-author and I, we calculated about 12 or identified about 12 independent security failures which took place on that day, each of which, if you had upended one of those failures, it would have prevented Thomas Matthew Crooks from being able to go up on that AGR building and then, using the AR-15 with the Red Dot's EOTech scope, be able to take shots, 8 shots at Donald Trump, by the way, and the ensuing crowd. And so the odds of all of those security failures happening on the same day that a trained killer, a trained marksman, would go with malicious intent to get those shots off, or 1 in 1 septillion. And we plugged all of this into GPT-4 Omni. And GPT-4 Omni, which is sort of the latest iteration of the OpenAI, we said, well, what's your assessment? What is the computer's assessment? What is the digital assessment? Because, you know, maybe I'm biased because I'm a supporter. I want to hear what the computer says. And the computer responded saying, the extreme unlikelihood of such a high amount of failures all occurring on the same day give rise to the question as to whether or not all of this happened by chance alone, and calls for further investigation into what really happened.
Yeah.
And that's what GPT-4 Omni said to us. That wasn't me. That wasn't, me just going on the internet asking for comments. That's actually what OpenAI's response was. Basically, that it's incredulous and it flies in the face of mathematical reality and statistical reality. Now, you mentioned, what are the odds as well that Donald Trump would turn his head and that there would be a gust of wind at about 5 miles an hour at the exact moment? I mean, it's just impossible. It's completely impossible, other than what I believe to be a form of divine intervention that saved Donald Trump that day. And so we actually made that the cover of the book, not the picture, the, you know, iconic photo of Trump with his hand up. And I don't know, maybe we'd sell more copies if that was the cover, but I didn't want to do that.
That might be the sequel.
because the one for me is that picture of Trump when he's brought low and when he's on his knees, and it looks as though he's in prayer. He's giving that prayerful with his hands clasped together. And that's a way that we've never seen Donald Trump before. We've seen Donald Trump do many things, but we've never seen him humble himself and be humble in public, certainly ever.
Yeah.
And I said, to me, that looks like a man who's speaking with his creator and realizing that there is a force far more powerful than any of us that is truly behind all things. And we made that the cover of the book, and I've been saying this throughout the tour. And then Donald Trump himself, actually, I was at this event in Charlotte, North Carolina, Ballots and Bibles, and this 11th Hour Faith Leader event. And he came up and he was talking about that event, and he says, now looking back at my life's journey, I can see the hand of God guiding me the entire way. And on that day, July 13th in Butler, Pennsylvania, he said, I felt as if a great supernatural force threw me to the ground. Mm. when that happened. Because if you go, and I went back and I watched the video and just to double check this, and I said, wait a minute, he goes to the ground very quickly, but before the Secret Service has arrived.
Right.
You know, he puts his hand to his ear. He says he realized that it was a gunshot because he could hear it and he could feel that. He said it was a tremendous force that hit his ear, but then he felt another force pushing him down and keeping him down. And he attributed that to the hand of God. And he said that he believes that his life was saved that day for a purpose, and that is the purpose that he is on now. And I have to say that I just, as a believer, I will always believe that. And I'll always believe that on that day, God saved his life. We can't understand why. We can't understand the machinations. But if you look throughout the Bible, and not to get all theological here.
Oh,
but,
please. We don't mind.
When you look through the Bible, you find so many instances, though, whether it's mm-hmm. David, whether it's Solomon, his mistresses, whether it's Saul, who was incredibly corrupt, and God taking these flawed individuals and then raising them up and using them to go on to perform great and extraordinary deeds. But always, always, God requires that they perform an act of humility first to them, that they show piousness, that they show piety towards God. And when you look at that, it falls almost perfectly within a pattern that is set out by the Bible and many of the passages in there. And so I just have to say that that's exactly what I think it is. And, you know, when they talk about there being a gust of wind, that actually in every single instance of the New Testament that the Holy Spirit is referenced, the Holy Spirit is referred to as being accompanied by a gust of wind.
That's so true.
This is at Christ's baptism. This is at the cenacle where the tongues of fire and the coming of the Holy Spirit and Pentecost. And the word, the Anglo-Saxon word for gust actually is the word geist, which I didn't know, but I looked up in terms of this. And it turns out that's the same root word as the word ghost. So, you know, we're going into Halloween here, but it's also ghost, like the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And so spirit, of course, spiritus is a Latin word, but the Anglo-Saxon word is the term would be the Holy Ghost. And so there was that indelible link between a ghost and wind.
We're here, and I know you have to run, but I want to give you one opportunity to talk. We've had a lot of conversations about this on our show. We have three people on our show. We're all Christians. We're happy to say that's how we identify. Your message to those people who are conflicted in their Christian faith to vote for this man.
Yeah, sure. It's very simple. One person is incredibly anti-Christian. One person has come out and supported the locking up of pro-lifers, has supported the locking up of people who are patriots, has gone after traditional Catholics for praying the rosary, which is something that I do with my family. We're Polish Catholics. We've always prayed the rosary. It pretty much comes with one flavor that way. And this person has presided over all of that. And to have her come forward and say that she wants to continue this as president, with Democrats making mockery of communion, with Kamala Harris mocking Catholics at the Al Smith dinner, this is someone who is openly hostile to Christians. And if she becomes in power, if she's given power, remember, it's not just her, it's the 5,000 people that come along with her, and same with Trump, obviously. And these are people that would be incredibly hostile to Christians. So if you're someone who's out there like me, who sends your kids to a Christian school,
yep.
If you're someone out there that doesn't want your kids going to these woke indoctrination centers known as public schools, then she will work to shut down those systems, and you will see lawsuits and you will see everything coming out of the Department of Justice to crack down on this and come after your kids. And they will do so and tell you that it's for their own good.
Man.
And so that's, for me, that's, there's not even a choice.
Well, the book is bulletproof. The truth about the assassination attempts on Donald Trump, yourself and your co-author, Joshua Lysak, we appreciate you putting this together and making sure that this story doesn't just fade out of people's frontal thoughts. And with the election shortly around the corner, we're really grateful today, Jack, for your time. Thank you for being here with us.
God bless you, Annie. Thank you so much.
God bless you, Josh. Jack Posobiec, thank you so much for being here with us today. You got to get this book. You've got to understand a lot of the things that went into the detailed look at the security that was put into place, the security failures that took place. And again, listening to Jack's words there specifically on the way that Donald Trump behaved in that moment, you know, one in a septillion. That's the phrase right there. That's the quote. And it's an amazing, amazing thing. You know, in my lifetime, I was born in 1984, but in my lifetime, I've heard forever about the assassination of JFK. I've heard people from maybe your generation say, I know where I was. I know what the desk was like that I was sitting in when that we got word at school. I've heard about the assassination attempts on Ronald Reagan's life. I've heard that he said when he was wheeled into the ER or the operating room or whatever it was, like, I hope you are Republicans. And the doctor said to Reagan, we're all Republicans today, sir, or whatever. Like, these are stories that stand the test of time. They come part of our understood history. They're huge moments in time. And we are just months from a bullet grazing the ear of a man who is simply running to be the president of the United States again. And we're not talking about it. Jack Posobiec and Joshua Lysak are, and we're very grateful for it. If you're interested in this book, it's called Bulletproof. It's available on Amazon. You can get it right now. You can get it today. If you're looking for a direct link, you can go to the Annie Fry YouTube description of our live broadcast right now, and I've linked it there. Let's take a quick break. Get Wiggins in here for Wiggins America next. I believe.